Good morning, church. Good to be back right out here this morning. Before I get started, I'm going to be continuing on with the seven deadly sins, but I'm going to be talking about pride this morning, so we'll get into that here in just a little bit. But over in Revelations, the second chapter, it says this, and I'm going to give you a reason why I'm going to. It says in the seventh verse, it says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, I'm going to tell you why I'm saying that here this morning. For it is because of this. Without spiritual ears, you'll not hear anything that the Lord is trying to talk to you about this morning. You won't hear it. Because what you'll do, you'll tune it out. You'll just sit back here. You'll be fine. You'll just sit back here. But to hear what God has for each and every one of us, He says, let us, and I'll read it again to you. It says this: "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." And that's not just physical hearing. It's more importantly a spiritual hearing, brothers and sisters. That's what it's about. That's what He's wanting to get across to each and every one of us. I'm telling you, gentlemen, and I said this before, and I'm not trying to be funny about this, but gentlemen, there's times in our lives our wives can be talking to us and we don't hear. We listen. Am I right? We're hearing what they're saying, but we're not listening to what they're saying. You get what I'm saying? It's happened many times in my life, and if you're honest, it's happened many times in your life as well. I'm telling you, I have sat and listened to sermons before my life, and they were good sermons, and I never got a thing out of them, Alita. Because why? I didn't have my spiritual ears tuned to what He was trying to tell me. This morning, I pray this morning, whenever we get ready to pray here in a little bit, I pray that God opens up your spiritual ears this morning to hear what I got to say. I'm telling you, when I'm talking about pride this morning, I'm going to get into like three different avenues where maybe you've never thought of, times that maybe that you don't think is all that obvious in your life. Because I tell you, as I've told you before, as God has dealt with me on each of these subjects, I'm telling you, He has showed me things in my own life. And I hope and pray that He showed you things in your life. I hope and pray that He has. Because I believe that He's wanting to talk to every one of them here. Before I get started on it, I'm going to be over in Proverbs, the sixth chapter. I'm going to start over there. Now, my main scripture is still Galatians. And I'll read that. But before I have you to stand, I'll have you stand on Proverbs. "The thing that I gather about pride, this is one of the sins where almost everything else is associated with, is pride. It can almost all go back to where it is in pride. And I'm telling you, folks, it is something that the Lord has opened my eyes about, and I hope He does it to yours as well. But over in Galatians, and I'll read that there first before I have you stand. I've read this before, the last few weeks. And it says this. It says, "But for the flesh, for this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Because I don't say, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusteth against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if you are led of the Spirit," I'm not going to go back to what I've been reading, but I'm going to read this morning. "Ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of that which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past time, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." But I'm going to read this part because this is where our hope comes from. "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, it is joy, it is peace, it is long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ are crucified the flesh with the effects of the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." That's what I'm telling you this morning. We need to have ears, spiritual ears, to listen this morning. If you would, I'm going to be over in the sixth chapter of Proverbs this morning. Stan, I'm going to read the 16th through the 19th verse with me, please. Very powerful scripture, very powerful scripture. And it says this: "These six things doeth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's pretty powerful scripture. Would everybody agree with me? And God, this is the psalmist talking, or in Proverbs talking about it, said these are things that God hates and are an abomination to him. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come, Lord, with thanksgiving on my heart, Lord. I praise you, Lord, this morning. Lord, I've come to realize, Father, and I know there's no good in myself, Lord. It only comes through you. And Jesus, I pray this morning that, Lord, that Father, that the anointing would be upon me, Lord. I pray, Father, that hearts would be open to listen this morning. I pray, Father, that, Lord, no matter what is said and done here this morning, it would always be for the building and uplifting of your kingdom, Lord. I want to praise you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. And we ask it in your Son Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Do we really realize how dangerous pride is in our lives and how dangerous it can be in our lives? Or for the matter of fact, how powerful humility can be. How powerful humility can be in our lives. In Proverbs 29:23, it says this. It says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And I know if you know about the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about the humble all the time over there and how powerful that was in a person's life. Pride is behind all lack of love. Pride is behind all of the indifference and lack of feeling toward one another. It is the source of all hasty and all critical judgments towards one another. Pride's behind all that. All manifestations of temper and irritations toward others can all go back to pride. And I believe the Bible can show you that if you really want to dig into that. All feelings of bitterness and unforgiveness, listen to me, unforgiveness come from a spirit of pride that takes place in a person's life. It can do that. Pride is something that every human being will deal with at times in their life. Can I have an amen or an oh my? Because every one of us will deal with it in certain ways. It was pride that caused Lucifer to become the devil. You all know that, don't you? It was that thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground and I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Who was they talking about? He was talking about the devil. That's who he was talking about. I've read commentaries that said that whenever Lucifer, they said he was the most beautiful angel. That's what it says about him. And he let his pride get a hold of him then. And I've read a lot of commentaries that said that Lucifer was probably the angel that was going to have control over the earth even before what God sent him down here. Because that's how powerful, that's how he was. Pride is the first and most fundamental of all sins, because I believe it is one of the ones that's the foundation for all sin. Pride and envy were behind the religious rulers that crucified Jesus, our Lord and Savior. They were that. That's kind of a spirit. And pride is a bigger problem in most people's lives than what you'll ever admit and what you'll realize. It will be. It is. It is, honestly. Unfortunately, we are experts at looking at other people's pride. I'm good about looking at Ron and saying, man, this is what Ron needs to correct. Huh? Me and Ron know we're buddies. We know what we're doing here. We know. It's always Ron because he's sitting right there. But we're always experts at picking out somebody else's issues with pride, are we not? I can sit up here and tell you, yeah, we are experts at that. We are good at that. But we're no good at seeing it in ourselves. We're no good at seeing it in ourselves. We're good at seeing it in all those who are self-centered. We're good at seeing them. Those that are high-minded, we're good at looking at them. Am I right? It's all about themselves. We can see that in other people. But you know what? It's very hard to see it in our own self sometimes whenever it comes to us. But rarely do we look in a mirror and think to ourselves, man, that's one proud person sitting right there. Brothers and sisters, we need to do that more than what we think we need to do it. Absolutely. When one of the biggest self-centered, proud people may be looking right back at you. Maybe doing it. Absolutely, it may do it. Few of us consider ourselves to be proud, but let me ask you something this morning. Do you think of yourself as a proud person? Now, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Do you think of yourself as a proud person here this morning? I've had to ask myself that question down through this past few weeks studying on this stuff. I want to ask you here this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I honestly want you to think, do you consider yourself as a proud person? Now, you may not be going around and sticking your chest out like the Pharisees did over in Luke 18, where they said this, I thank God that I'm not like other men that are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes to all that I possess. You may not stand up and go around doing that this morning, but there still may be pride in your life. You may not go around boasting. Most folks know pride when they see it. Do we not? Someone who is in need of attention, that person who thinks that the world revolves around them, that's not hard for us to see out there and think, man, that person got some pride issues, do they not? Jesus said in Matthew 23, they're the ones who have the best seats in the synagogues. They're the ones who are greeting in the marketplace, and they want to be addressed a certain way. It's not hard to see people like that, is it not? I've seen those people in my life. There's people who are overly argumentative. They'll argue with you about anything. Because why? They feel that they're right and that you're wrong, no matter what direction it is. And they will argue with you all the time. Prideful people that speak up when they ought to be listening. Also, prideful people, these are things I think are pretty obvious. They're pretty disrespectful to authority as well. Amen? They're all mine. Yeah. You'll have people that are very prideful, that are very disrespectful to authority in their lives. Pride will criticize and talk behind their boss's backs. Pride, people in authority, even when we don't care much for them, pride will criticize. My Bible tells me, I'm going to be blunt with you this morning. No, I don't like how our government is today. But it's not for me to stand behind. We should be praying for the President of the United States, not talking about him. Sometimes pride lets us get in the way. No, I don't care much for it. But I'm telling you, I've got to learn to pray. The Bible tells us to pray for those in authority over us. Selfish ambitions. I'm just talking about things that are really, 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 that can be, you can spot these things. I'm going to get into some stuff here in a little bit, you may not be able to spot. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Can you honestly say in your heart this morning that everybody else in here is better than you? Let each esteem others better than themselves. Have you ever thought of it that way? Sometimes, brothers and sisters, that kind of stuff right there is hard sometimes for us to recognize. But I'm telling you, if you see somebody that is constantly putting themselves above everybody else and thinking that they're better than everybody else, that's prideful. And we can recognize that. Stubbornness and a willingness not to compromise. Uh-huh. That's pride. So there are times. Listen, these are easily to be recognized. We can look at them. These are that. But what I want to touch on this morning may not be that easy. Most folks don't look with the outward appearance of pride. They don't look that way because sometimes that pride is talking about is on the inside and it's there. And some of us have to do. See, the sin of pride can be committed by the best of the children of God. It absolutely can. Number one, pride can be an unwillingness to wait on God. Did you know that? You know why?
is because, Greg, I know better than God. I know better than Him. And sometimes people don't want to wait on an answer from God. They want to take things into their own hands. And whenever you do that, you're saying, whether you're admitting it or not, but I know better than God. In His own time. We don't let God do it in His own time, in His own way. Pride is when things get out of our control and we are unwilling to let God handle it. When it comes to pride, I think the greatest temptation that a Christian can face is when he wants to get ahead of God. Can I have an amen? Because we do. Have you ever thought God was moving too slowly? Huh? You can raise your hand on that if you want to. I'm not going to stand back because I'm right up here raising my hand with you. Have you ever thought God has been moving too slowly? And when you prayed for something and you decided at that time to take things into your own hands. God, you don't know what you're doing. I know what to do. That's pride. Whether you want to admit it or not, that is pride. It is a spirit of impatience. Pride is at the center of it. I think of the story of Samuel and Saul. Greg and him taught on that here a while back. But listen to me. 1 Samuel 8:10. You can go there. You don't have to. Just listen to this. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and shew thee what thou shalt do. Saul had just anointed him, and Samuel knew what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to go to Gilgal. And let me tell you something about Gilgal. Let me tell you something about that. That was the place that they put the stones when they come up out of the River Jordan, and God allowed them to do it. It was a place of remembrance. Can I tell you something, brother? There are times we need to go back to the place of remembrance. We need to go back there and say, God, you know what? You've done the work in my life. Get this pride out of me, and Lord, I'm going to wait on you to take care of it. That's what we got to do sometimes. Remember whenever David went out of exile? Where'd he go? He went to Gilgal. There's a lot of different. I want you to read about Gilgal when you get the chance. And you understand, it is a place of remembrance. He's telling Saul, I will tell you what to do. You're going to the altar of Gilgal, and you're going to go there, and you're going to pray, and you're going to wait on an answer from God. So Saul goes to Gilgal, and he's there. As many of us do, we put a time frame on God. You ever done that? Well, God, if you're not going to answer it in this point in time, I'm going to take care of it myself. Well, God, it doesn't happen this way. I'll do it another way. So on the seventh day, if you look over in chapter 13, beginning with verse 8, this is what it says. And he tarried 7 days according to the time set and Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal at that time. And the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering and peace offering. This is Samuel talking. This is Saul talking, I mean. And he offered the burnt offering, and it came to pass, as soon as he had made the end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? What have you done? God told you what to do. Can I tell you this? Listen, the felicity, he was supposed to wait on Samuel. Saul was supposed to wait. There are times in our lives, there are issues in our lives, God is wanting us to wait. But our pride gets so much in the way, we are not willing to wait. We're going to take it and do it our own selves. Folks, I could read off a bunch of verses like this. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Or wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Or how about the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, and to the soul that seeketh him. It's not just a matter of waiting on the Lord. You see, we think about it. We talk about it. We pray about it. But we seldom do it. Can I have an amen? Lord, I'm waiting on you. Lord, I'm praying about it. Lord, I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm going down all these different things. Are we really waiting upon the Lord when we try to take things into our own hands? We're not. We're not. And most of you know that is the truth. We don't wait on the Lord for direction. And that side of pride cost us. It cost Samuel. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of thy Lord, thy God, which I was commanded thee. For now the Lord has established, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue." And the Lord has sought a man after his own heart, and that man would be David. You see, impatience cost Saul his kingdom. I'm going to give you some words of advice. The last 5 minutes of praying by faith may be the hardest that you'll ever do. You get what I'm saying? We pray by faith. We say, "Lord, I need this prayer answered." Well, that last 5 minutes, when everything looks its darkest, when everything looks the worst, that may be the 5 minutes where God actually will do the work. Are we ready to wait? Saul wasn't ready. Samuel wasn't ready. Saul wasn't ready, I'm sorry. You know why? This is what I gathered happened. Saul did the sacrifice at noon. The time of sacrifice was 3 o'clock. You see what I'm saying? He was within 3 hours of doing what God wanted him to do. But he could not wait because he had a better plan. Brother, that's nothing more than pride in a person's life. You see the importance of it cost him. Folks, I don't know what you're going through, but listen to me here this morning. Listen to me, please. Don't let the sin of pride derail your prayers this morning. Don't let it do that. Derail your relationship with God. Saul thought he had a better way. He looked at all the conditions around him. The enemy had gathered. It also says in the verse of Scripture that some of the people were already leaving him. Can I tell you something? When you're praying in faith and you're praying for something, there are going to be people the devil's going to send people your way to try to discourage you. And sometimes it may be the person sitting beside of you this morning. The last 5 minutes may be the hardest. But he wants us to continue to pray, continue to go on, continue to believe in him. You can't say, "I can't take this waiting anymore." He went from a man who in 1 Samuel 10:10 had the Spirit of God on him to a man that when it says, "When they come hither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets." Remember, he come down out of there and he even prophesied. "In the Spirit of the Lord come upon him," he prophesied. And he went to a man to where an evil spirit come upon him. 1 Samuel 16:14. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." You may be saying, "God, save me. I'm waiting. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I just want to make something happen." You may be saying, "I just want to make something happen with my marriage. I just want to make something happen with my family. I just want to make something happen." You put it in there however you want to put it in there. But can I tell you something this morning? Don't try to play God when it comes to that stuff. You're praying in faith, believing. Believe. In faith, believing. And let God handle the situation. Instead of you trying to do it yourself. And you know I think it's pride as being only someone being boastful. That's not always the case. It's not always the case. Listen, but praying God is just, you know, praying that God just removes that pridefulness from your life. Taking things into our own hands. I love how Ecclesiastes 3:1 says this. "To everything there is a season and a time and every purpose under heaven." How can you and I know the difference between taking things in our own hands and whenever God's wanting us to take action? Because the Holy Spirit tells us how. John 16:30, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." That's having those spiritual ears listening to what God says through his word and through testimonies and through preaching and through teaching. Galatians 5:25, "And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." And this is the one I like, Ephesians 1:17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." In the knowledge of him. Don't take it upon yourself. It's in the knowledge of him. Or it's pride. There are times Action is necessary. I'm not going to deny that. But brothers and sisters, there are times when we just need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Can I have an amen? Amen. Another form of pride that some people don't even... Greg kind of mentioned a little bit of it earlier today. Another form of pride. Most people won't ask for help. Most people will not ask for help. That is pride. That is pride. Most people have been raised with this form of pride installed in them. Not only can this be seen in how we deal with each other, but more importantly, it can translate into our relationship with God. God said in Psalms 10:4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. There are people that will not seek God in their lives because you know why? They don't think they need God in their lives. They think that. They don't need God. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I don't need God. He's telling us, he said, though, the pride of countenance, not the wicked say that. And as it relates to everyday walk, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something right now. Sometimes we avoid asking for help out of fear because it's a way that we admit failure in our lives. Can I tell you something? That's not how God set this thing up. And I'm going to show you how he set it up here in a minute. We say to ourselves, I should be able to handle this. But the truth is that God created us with a need whenever he created us. Brother, sister, we had a need of a Savior. Amen. We have a need of a Savior. Amen? Amen. We can't do this thing without the Son of God dying on the cross for us. There's no way. And after Jesus went into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit because he knew we needed guidance in our lives. Our need is help is not shameful. It's not shameful a bit or equal to failure. So don't let the devil whisper in your ears about that. But our continuing to ask for help can be prideful. Not asking for help can be prideful and it can be sin. Asking for help, I've experienced this, can be a blessing to others. Can I tell you that? You come and you ask me for help, whatever it may be a blessing for you. It may be a blessing to me. That's what God said. But listen, in Galatians, bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. So what's that mean? Does that mean we shouldn't ask for help? No, that does not mean that. When you or I put aside and ask for help, we are giving others the opportunity to serve God. Did you know that? Listen, we are giving others the opportunity to serve God and share Christ's love with you. Listen, everyone in the body of Christ has a different strength. I said this here a while back. There are people that are electricians. There are people that are plumbers. There are people that are mechanics. And there's a lot of them in the body of Christ. And those people in the body of Christ, listen, that's why God says it. If someone asked you or myself to help, that gives that individual the opportunity to exercise their gifts of the Lord. Amen. That gives it them opportunity. And as the body is designed to work together to help one another. Listen to Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself, what? In love. That's what it's about. It is pride when we're not asking for help. Whenever we truly need it. Oh, I understand Google's out there today, and Google's great. But brothers and sisters, whenever Google's not getting the blessings that God's wanted to bestow upon everybody. Amen? Whether we admit it or not, it's a form of pride. Listen, also, when we ask for help, it shows others the grace of God and how it works. Did you know that? Amen. God is, you know what grace is? It's unmerited favor. It's showing that we cannot do this thing on our own. Couldn't do it on our own. God sent help by his only begotten Son. And is asking for help. We humble ourselves. Do we not? You have to humble yourself to ask for help. And admit that we can't do this by ourselves. whatever the situation is. Grace personified it. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes we feel, if we ask for help, that we're weak. That's what we do sometimes, do we not? Yes, we do. We feel that we're weak and that, you know what, we should be able to do this on our own. You cannot do some things on your own. I pray to God that I would listen more when I was younger to my wife whenever she said, Dave, you shouldn't be lifting that. You shouldn't be doing this. I pay for the price of that today because of my shoulders and my arms. Because listen, brothers and sisters, I was too prideful to ask for help. Amen. It can come to sin. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The last point I wanted to talk to you this morning about is pride is a preoccupation with appearance. And I'm not just talking about appearance of yourself. It is part of it. Back to Samuel and Saul. Saul had disobeyed the Lord, and Samuel confronted him with his displeasure. If you look at 1 Samuel 15:30, he says this. Then he said, I have sinned. This is Samuel talking. And he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. I pray thee before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. He wasn't worried about whether or not he got caught doing what he was doing. He was worried about he didn't want to look bad to the people. Amen. Folks, listen to me. Whenever we worry about looking bad in front of people instead of God, it is pride in our lives that is doing that. It is pride in our lives that is doing that. Saul, he was worried about that. Saul was preoccupied with what it looks like to the people. He was more interested in looking right than being right. Let me ask you a question this morning. How preoccupied are you with appearance this morning? Yeah, something happens in your family and things aren't just hunky-dory within your family and you're more worried about the looks that it's going to look like in the community, what it's going to look like with the family, what it's going to look like in the church than what it is with God. That's pride. That's pride. Are you more worried about what others think about you? And than what God thinks about you. If they find out I'm not perfect or my children aren't perfect, what are they going to do? I'm telling you, you're not looking at a perfect individual up here. You're not. And I don't ever claim to be. And I never will claim to be. And I love my kids, but my kids have not been perfect down through the years. They have not. But I'm not going to stand up here and try to tell you that they are. I'm the leader of the church. What would people think? Folks, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every individual in this church, whether it's your children, whether it's you, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We will fall flat on our faces from time to time. Our children will fall flat on their faces from time to time. Can I have an amen? But we will allow pride to ruin our walk with God whenever we feel like it's not that important. It's more important to what we look like in front of the people in the community than what it is in front of these people, in front of Him. We don't want to talk about imperfections, but love to talk about others' imperfections, do we not? Absolutely. I believe there's scripture for that, and it says this, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Yep. Now, how about personal appearance? Oh, yeah. Now, what about personal appearance? Are you more worried about what people think about you on that than you are what the Lord thinks? I'm not saying we shouldn't take a bath. I'm not saying we shouldn't comb our hairs or look presentable. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. We do need to interact socially. I understand that. What I'm talking about is the motives of our heart. That's what I'm talking about. Are you obsessed with physical appearance? Are you obsessed with it? Are you obsessed with it? Does gaining a couple pounds throw you into depression and self-rejection? Does it? I don't know your heart this morning. I'm just asking you. excessive preoccupation with physical appearance. You know, an indication of pride in a person's heart. Whether you know that or not, that it is. How many selfies do you put on social media? Amen or oh my. For whatever reason. I don't. Lord help me. Again, I tell you, I don't get on social media to see that stuff. I don't know. But I'm telling you. Brothers, when you put excessive amount of stuff out there, there is pride in your heart. What if God asked you to do something in His service? Let me ask you that. What if He asked you to stand up and praise His name? What if the Holy Spirit impressed upon you this morning that He wanted you to stand up and shout and run the church this morning? I'm not saying everybody's a shouter. But what if God put that upon your heart and you said, I don't want to do that because I worry about what other people think about what I'm doing that for. That's pride. That's pride. I'm not saying everybody gets up and shouts. I'm not saying it. But I'm saying if God puts it upon your heart, you should do it. Something out of the ordinary. You know, is your spiritual hunger so strong that you would risk maybe what people think about you? You see what I'm saying this morning? What pride can go in so many different things. It can be so many different things. It's not just the obvious things that we put up there. I think of the story of Zacharias. We all know what Zacharias did. What did he do? He climbed it. Climbed what? He climbed up in the tree? What for? So he could see Jesus. So he could see Jesus. Do you not think that there were people sitting there at that time thinking, what is that grown man doing climbing up a tree to look at a man walk by? What is that grown man doing? Do you not think people thought that? I believe they thought that. But Zacharias didn't care. You know what the Bible says? It said not only did salvation come to him, salvation come to his house. Are you willing to put all pride aside if God, and forget about what it appears to look like. Forget about what you think people are going to think about you. Get up out of there and maybe do something, maybe it's a little out of the ordinary once in a while. Can you imagine people talking about it? I'm telling you, are you willing, and I say this all the time, but are you willing to testify to the goodness of the Lord, not only in this church, but at Walmart, at Kroger's, at the gas station, maybe at a family reunion? Or do we just let pride get over us so bad that we're not willing to say a word for Him? I hope and pray that somebody said, you know, the other day, I say this all the time, I know you think you get tired of hearing it, I'm not aiming for your toes, I'm aiming for your heart this morning. I'm not. I don't care what it looks like, only what it feels like to know that I've done what God wants me to do. There are times, I've told you before, I will preach hard. And I'll preach some things sometimes that you'll say, what in the world is he preaching about that? But I'm telling you, it's something that God has put upon my heart for you to hear, because I believe, and I truly believe, that somebody in here need to hear what I had to say that morning. Because God has impressed it upon me that much. Greg's right. Greg's right in this aspect of this. Jesus Christ died on the cross to take all that away from us. But I'm telling you, you've got to be willing to give it to Him. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear. All that has ears to hear, let them hear. What thus saith the Spirit. Are the optics more important to you than what God thinks? Are they? That's something you can answer. That's not something that I can. It says this, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Can I tell you this one last thing? Belinda, you can come get a song, please, or whoever. That fear is rooted in pride. And with like every bad thing, it needs to be rooted out. With every weed in our garden, we root it out, do we not? We try to get the root out. If you don't get the root out, it's going to come back. It's going to come back. I'm telling you this morning, God is willing to deal with us this morning, but you've got to let the Holy Spirit deal with you, and you've got to let the Holy Spirit deal with you so much that you don't care what anybody else thinks. Only what he thinks. You come to this altar this morning, and let's pray together. Amen.